Absolutely. I suppose the conditions were atrocious in the second half. I mean, there was a bad shower of rain before the game, and you know, but the first half was the weather had kind of cleared. But yeah, I mean, it certainly, I suppose, made it a different type of match. It wasn't the high scoring shootout that probably, you know, this Sunday's encounter could potentially be, but you couldn't fault certainly the effort levels and the intensity on both sides. And you know, no stone was left unturned, and it was, I suppose, really an epic contest in every sense of the word.
Yeah, as you said, intensity. There really was an awful amount of tackling, hooking, blocking in the game. That seemed to be a feature throughout it, wasn't it?
Yeah, the work rate. I mean, well, Limerick had to play that way, I think, Rory, to any chance. And, you know, I suppose the challenge for Kilkenny was to match that, and they did it. And I suppose really it was a case in the second half where Limerick managed to drag them into the trenches, and Kilkenny had to dig very, very deep. But they got the break with that second goal. And I suppose, you know, the first goal before half-time, you know, Limerick had, you know, 10 minutes, I suppose, to, you know, to rebound from that, and credit them that they did. And, you know, they really appeared to have a stranglehold on it. But the second goal, I suppose, changed things. And once Kilkenny had something to defend, you know, they just got bodies back. And you know, I suppose, with Limerick throwing everything at them, they maintained that work rate. And, you know, I suppose you couldn't really question the fact that they were probably deserving winners on the balance of play.
Yeah, Cody Sprang, Richie Power and Henry Shefflin, and they made a major impact, especially Richie Power getting that goal. Do you think Cody will have to start him now in the final?
Well, I think a lot will depend on you know, what happens, I suppose, in the next 3.5 weeks, you know, down in Nolan Park. I suppose, you know, Richie Power, you know, fully fit, yeah, would certainly be on my starting 15, but, you know, his leg was heavily strapped. I mean, he went off, suppose, and hobbled off in the first game with Galway, I think it was, and, you know, the diagnosis, I think at the time, was it was a knee injury in 6 to 8 weeks, and he wouldn't be back until mid-August. So, but certainly in the cameo, the 15 minutes there that he was on, he turned the game to Kenny's way, and I suppose the decision Brian is to make is, you know, do I hold him in reserve? Because to see a guy like that coming off the bench, knowing that he can make an impact, you know, has to have an effect both on the Kilkenny players and the opposition. But that said, you know, he's probably too good, fully fit to leave off. You know, but the other side of it is Tommy Walsh, you know, remained on the bench. Walter Walsh was on the bench. Aidan Fogarty, who didn't do a whole lot wrong in the last couple of games, wasn't used either. So, you know, the Kilkenny bench certainly has an intimidating look about it, and I suppose it's a joy as a manager to know that, you know, you can, based on form, you know, go to your reserves, and as I said, they can come on and make an impact with the experience and quality that they have.
Yeah, looking at this Kilkenny side, where do you feel is the biggest weakness? I know, like, because obviously age is kind of starting to become a factor with that side.
Well, I still think that, you know, there is maybe a lack of pace in the defence, but they do a great job of, you know, I suppose, particularly protecting the full back line. I mean, I thought Brian Hogan, you know, sat deeper in the second half, and, you know, listen, JJ Delaney and Jackie Tyrrell are phenomenal players, and, you know, Limerick maybe didn't get the space to maybe ask those questions about their pace and take them on. So, you know, you can talk about weaknesses and deficiencies, but it's one thing, you know, trying to identify them. It's another thing actually exploiting them. And once, as I said, Kilkenny got ahead, you know, they just seemed to get more bodies into their own half of the field and made it very, very difficult for Limerick to break them down. So whether it's Cork or Tip, you know, to get through, I think a key priority is going to have to be, you know, trying to build a lead and force Kilkenny maybe to chase it, because, you know, with the resolve, resilience and experience and willpower in that team, you know, if they're there about for 20 minutes left, it's going to take, you know, a superhuman effort to turn them over and defeat them.
Is it almost an unusual feature of this Kilkenny side that they are quite defensive?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, tactically, you know, Brian Cody's been totally underrated over the years, because, you know, I think that all over the field, you know, they've outworked the opposition time and time again, and the pressure that their forwards, you know, put the opposition defenders on, you know, even chasing down lost causes, makes a difference in terms of, you know, taking 5 or 10 yards off a clearance or getting a half hook in. And those little things, I think, have been features of Kilkenny, you know, over the years. And I think, you know, Brian Hogan at centre-back has always understood his role, that, you know, if he can get back into the D and help his full back line and give them extra cover, then somebody else is responsible for picking up his man, you know, at centre-forward. And, you know, I think defensively, you look at the number of goals they've conceded over the years, they've always been very, very hard to break down. It's possibly as this year, with maybe, you know, more mileage on the clock, they're a little bit more cognizant of it, I think, as a team, that, you know, they don't want to find themselves exposed or isolated. And, you know, if they can get ahead at all, you know, well, then it makes it easier to play that game. But, you know, this is a team that's got huge know-how and experience, and you know, they're playing to a system that served them very, very well over the years, and I don't think they're doing a whole lot differently. They're a bit more defensively minded, but as I said, I don't think they've changed anything too radically.
Okay, looking at this weekend now, obviously Cork and Tipperary. What are you expecting from this game?
Well, if we get the weather that we're all hoping for, I think we're expecting a shootout.
It's going to be a major factor, obviously, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it will be. And I think conditions, you know, obviously made last Sunday, you know, a different type of game. But it was no less enthralling for that. But I think, you know, you have two hugely exciting forward lines. And I think, you know, Cork, even when, say, in times, you know, when they haven't been maybe going well, you know, you look at the scoreboard and you see that they've still accumulated, you know, a tally that seems to exceed the possession that they have. I mean, with you know, a couple of minutes to go in the first half of the Munster final, they were 12-9 ahead, despite Limerick having, you know, monopolised possession, or so it seemed, to a large extent. So Cork have an attack that's, I think, been very, very efficient all year. And obviously Alan Cadigan and Bill Cooper have been two really, really good finds there. And Tipperary, I suppose, on the other side of things, appear to have their mojo and their rhythm back in attack. And they look like the side of 2010 again up front, where, you know, they're moving very, very well. The cohesiveness is there, and they look like they've got the ability to get goals. So, you know, both sides have forward lines that you know, can amass match-winning tally. So, you know, I think it's got all the hallmarks of the game that's potentially going to develop into a shootout.
Cork look to have a very settled team at the moment, you know. Where do you see they could have the most impact on the game on Sunday?
Well, I think obviously, you know, Aidan Walsh, I think, gives him, you know, huge physicality and presence in the middle of the field. But I think, you know, in that middle diamond, you know, Bill Cooper and Mark Ellis have been, I think, majorly instrumental in terms of structurally Cork been a lot sounder than they were last year. I mean, you know, you could have driven a bus up to the middle of the Cork defence at times in the Ireland final replay, and, you know, Pat Donlan went right through the middle, I suppose, for Clare's first goal. And, you know, you concede five goals. If Cork concede five goals on Sunday, there's only going to be one result. And I think, you know, the management, I think, and players have been mindful of that. And, you know, Mark Ellis, I think, understands that role. And, you know, with Walsh and maybe Daniel Carney sitting a little bit deeper at times, and Bill Cooper maybe, you know, coming out to midfield a bit more as well, I think Ellis has been able to do that. And I think they've conceded the two goals in the four championship matches, you know, which means that teams are going to have to score an awful lot of points to beat you with the forward line you have in those circumstances. So I think the five players that Jimmy Barry has found have all added to the team and strengthened the team. And, you know, that's improvement, for example, that Clare weren't able to find this year, and that's why Cork are where they are.
Yeah, speaking of players, and Pat Cronin seems to be a bit of a major injury doubt at the moment. If he isn't fit, will that be a huge blow to them, or do you think that they actually have the players to come on the likes of Paddy O'Sullivan?
Yeah, you know, if you didn't have Paddy O'Sullivan, I think that, you know, that his loss will be felt to a greater extent. But Paddy O'Sullivan back fully fit is again like unearthing another new player. It's a massive string to Cork's bow. And, you know, you could see in the Munster final that when he got his opportunity, he was bursting for road, and, you know, obviously made a big contribution when he came on. And, you know, plus he's got the hunger, I suppose, and desire to, you know, to get back to Croke Park and, you know, playing the big stage that he was on the sideline looking out on, I'm sure, with, you know, serious envy last season. So, you know, he'd be, you know, I'd imagine desperately hungry to make an impact and play on that stage. And, you know, he's a quality player and a great guy to have to bring in if Cronin is unavailable. So, and as well as that, I mean, he will give the tip full back line, you know, something different. I mean, Pat Cronin is you know, obviously is taller and, you know, rangier and you know, threatened the air. Paddy O'Sullivan is lower to the ground and faster and nippier, and he'd present a different threat to James Barry or whoever Tip decided to play there. So, you know, I think Jimmy Barry would be delighted to have a hurler with the skill that Paddy O'Sullivan has at his disposal.
Yeah, and that Tip full back line, they have been leaking a lot of goals, especially in the National League. That is probably a weakness that Cork will look to exploit.
Definitely, and it was a major problem position during the league, as you said, and I suppose the changes that Eamon O'Shea, you know, made during that time, bringing Maher back to centre-back and relocating Pádraig Maher to full-back, appeared to have addressed those issues. But, you know, Cowley blew a hole, I suppose, in that, in that qualifier game in Thurles. And James Barry, I suppose until he went back in full back and put the shackles on Glenn Tipp, looked to be in real trouble. So, you know, it won't have been lost on Brian Cody or on Jimmy Barry that that's still an area of concern for the Tipp management, and they may have found a solution to it in James Barry. They may not. And, you know, as I said, Paddy O'Sullivan is a different threat to the type of challenge that, you know, that, for example, Jonathan Glynn presented that Barry was able to cope with. You know, he's got pace, he's low to the ground, he's good on the turn, you know, he's a more skillful player. And as I said, you know, that's the question mark Eamon O'Shea has to answer, is, you know, who's best equipped to cope with that threat if Cork choose to play him there. So, it would be the biggest area of concern for Tipperary supporters before Sunday. You know, will whoever's in that position be able to cope with the pressure that they're going to be under?
Do you think Tipperary are too dependent on Seamus Callanan in full forward? He's been ratcheting up an awful amount of scores for them. Will Eamon O'Shea be looking for a greater spread of scores from his forward line, the likes of Noel McGrath and these guys?
Yeah, well, I think he's had that. I think that different fellas have stood up on different days and performed them. Obviously, Callanan with the free-taking duties, you know, the tally after his name will be higher anyway, but he has been in great form, and, you know, he's got goals and his confidence levels are, you know, I think a lot higher, and that's indicative of the faith that Eamon O'Shea has shown in him. But different guys have done it on different days. I think John O'Dwyer got 6 or 7 points from play in the Galway match, which was a massive contribution. You know, Lahr is back in great form, got a couple of goals against you know, against Offaly. He's playing with confidence. Noel McGrath's playing with confidence. Garrod Ryan is back in the team. Bonner is playing really, really well and getting his name on the score sheet. So there's a lot of weapons in that Tipperary forward line. And I suppose akin to Kilkenny, the challenge for Cork is going to be that if you do hold Callanan and you do hold John O'Dwyer and you do hold Noel McGrath, well, then it could be Garrod Ryan and Lahr that do the damage. So, you know, the Cork defence are going to have to play well to curtail these guys, and particularly, I think, deny them the goals that they've scored in other games that have probably made the difference for Tip this year.
Looking at the two teams, Jamesy, who will come out victorious on Sunday?
Cork Tip games, as you know, Rory, can often take on a life of their own. And I mean, Tip were 10 points up in that league quarter final, and looking like, you know, they were going to put Cork to the sword very, very early. And suddenly, cool as a breeze, Seamus Harrandy, I think, had two goals, and Cork were right back in it. And it turned out to be, you know, a great cracking game with, you know, great scores at both ends of the field. So, you know, I think that it's I know it's cliched stuff and what have you, but, you know, both teams are going to have to be at their best on Sunday to come out on top. And I think goals, we saw last weekend, goals ultimately decided it. And I think Tip, as I said, has shown that ability to get goals, and they have that cohesiveness in their attack that they seem to have lost, you know, for a couple of seasons. That's back now, and I think, as I said, the side that gets the goals at the weekend will ultimately win the game, and I just think the Tip are more likely to do that. And I don't say it with any great degree of confidence, because Cork are a significantly, I think, improved side on last year. They have the bit between their teeth, and there's huge quality in that Cork attack. But provided the Tip full backline holds up, I just, as I said, think the Tip might get a couple of goals, and I think that could be enough to get them over the line.
Okay. Jamesy, can I just talk to you about Clare for just the final few minutes? Just looking at Clare this year, where did it really go wrong for them?
I'd say the Clare management are still asking themselves the same question, Rory. It's very, very hard to put your finger on it, because there were times during the league when you know, they were devastating. You know, Shane O'Donnell was unmarkable, I suppose, I think, in the Waterford game in Ennis, but he was certainly a massive loss, because he picked up, you know, from the form that he showed in the All-Ireland final replay last year.
Yeah.
He was playing with a lot of confidence. He tore his hamstring and was, you know, missed practically the entire championship. And given the form that he was in the league, you know, it was a big blow to lose a player like that. I think the other big thing was that guys like Pat Donnellan and Brendan Bugler have been phenomenal for Clare over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, they struggled with their form during the league, and they didn't really find anything like that, the form that they had last year. And as they were too underrated, I think, and undervalued players because of the leadership that they gave, the experience that they had. And, you know, us as with key players, I suppose, struggling to find form and maybe a little bit of fatigue as well. And as I said, Cork, you know, in the Cork game, certainly been up for it, and certainly haven't found the five players and the improvements that we certainly didn't seem to find. You know, it was always going to be a tough battle to get over that one. I suppose what's disappointing is that, you know, we didn't maybe kick on from it, and you know, we probably should have been beaten by Wexford on the in the drawn game. I suppose if there's one pleasing thing from a Clare perspective, it is that, listen, the team fought it out to the bitter end, and I suppose 14 men against Wexford and then 13 men in the replay, the team still showed a lot of character and a lot of heart. But, you know, we certainly didn't get to the levels that we did in 2013, and that's why we exited when we did.
Yeah. Looking at the under-21s, they were very impressive against Cork in the Munster final, and a number of senior players were playing, and they seemed to have gotten over that Wexford defeat, didn't they? And they seemed to be extremely hungry and almost to make up for that loss.
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, as young players, you know, you just want to get out and play, and I suppose that's like the likes of Brendan Bogler and Pat Donlan, the older players, you know, have to wait until, I suppose, next spring before they can, you know, put on that Clare jersey again. You know, but for Tony Kelly, I suppose, and Shane Amore, and, you know, even Shane O'Donnell and those guys, you know, the fact that they could get out with the 21s and they had to pick themselves up very quickly after the Wexford match for the Tipperary match, which was a huge challenge and went extra time. But I think in extra time of that game, you saw, I think, you know, Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell came on and made a big contribution. Shane Amore was fantastic. Colm Galvin was fantastic. And I suppose sometimes, you know, after defeat, the best way is to get the jersey on, get the boots on and get out and try and do it on the field. And I think those guys responded to the and relished us as the opportunity to atone for, you know, not hitting the same heights or playing anything like as well as they did last season. And, you know, certainly at home at Ennis in front of a huge and expecting Clare crowd in the final, we saw these guys at their very, very best against Cork. And, you know, it was hugely satisfying from a Clare perspective to think that these guys still have silverware to play for, and you know, we're in an Ireland semi-final now, and when we should get over against Antrim, and hopefully we can do the three in a row at that level.
Yeah. Just a final question, Dave, Jamesy, do you expect Davey to be bringing in a lot more of these under-21s that haven't made the grade at senior level yet?
Well, like that, as I said, Jimmy Barry, you know, found Alan Cadigan, Aidan Walsh obviously becoming available, you know, was a huge help. But Mark Ellis, Bill Cooper, these guys have strengthened the Cork team. Clare, if anything, you know, were a poorer team in the Championship this year. And, you know, I think, you know, Brian Cody has always looked to evolve and, you know, improve the side. And if there are players out there that can do that, he hasn't hesitated to bring them in. So Davey, I suppose, has the luxury of having, you know, underage talent at his disposal. The challenge will be for those younger players that if they do get the opportunity, you know, are they good enough and can they step up and show it? And certainly guys like Conor Cleary and Bobby Duggan, the hope and care would be that they can. So, you know, having that talent bodes well for us, but, you know, the playing pitch is certainly levelled and we're not ahead of the pack the way we might have thought we were last September, and that's been shown up this season, and we're certainly going to have to be better next year given what's at the form that Kilkenny, Tipperary, Cork and Limerick have shown.
Okay, James, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for taking the call.
Not at all, Roy, no problem.